Well, there are some things I may not know, and there are some places I can't go. Oh, but I am sure of this one thing. Oh, that God is real, for I Jesus, 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 hallelujah. Well, he's my king, and oh, how I love him. He's my king, and there is none above him. All day long, oh, you can hear me singing, hallelujah. Yeah.
for praying for us. I thank you for the cards and telephone calls and all the prayers. We really appreciate it so much. I'll tell you what, I'm not a person to get discouraged, really. I mean, I'm not discouraged with this way, because to me, this is it. But I'll just be plain with you. I guess I got cabin fever or something or other, but I just got where I just couldn't hardly stand it any longer, and I thought, I got to go. But anyway, it's so good to be here today, and when y'all would start service, I would imagine about what you would be doing and all like that. So to me, I tell you what, this is such a part of my life. I just appreciate the Lord that he let me in on this wonderful journey. I appreciate him so much, and I'm thankful for the Word of God that we hear, and we've been listening to the DVDs, and we've been having church just the same. Even though we wasn't here, we listened to the DVDs, and so I just really appreciate the Lord for all he's done for me, and I know my journey is not ended yet, and I appreciate the Lord for all that he's let me to enjoy in this wonderful way. But to me, this is the most wonderful thing that I ever experienced in my life, and I'm so happy that the Lord gave me a chance and that he knocked on my heart's door one day and let me to know that there was a better way. And yes, so today, great. I'm thankful that I'm getting to enjoy the great things of God, and I just like to tell people about it. I've told a lot of people about it. They haven't come yet, but maybe they will. Maybe the seed will come up after a while. So anyway, I'm so thankful to be here today, and the Lord has blessed us and helped us, and we can't get around as fast as much as we have been, but I'll tell you what, I'm like the old lady that she couldn't dance, but she said, I've got my walking cane and I'll pound it up and down. So that's what I'll do. So anyway, it's good to be here today.
Praise the Lord. Well, we're glad we can have Brother and Sister Cole as often as they can make it. They're good examples of those that are faithful. They've been faithful down through the years. It's why I like to look out in a church and see old folks. That might, if you're on the verge of being old, that could offend you, but Brother and Sister Crow, they know they're old. They don't have no trouble with that. Brother Brown said in the meeting we just came from, he'll be 80, I think, next month. And of course, Brother and Sister Crow don't think he's too old. It depends on how old you are, whether or not you're old. But he said in the meeting, he said, death that's a good conversation to have over dinner. He said, everybody's going to experience, so you might as well just get used to it, he said. Well, I don't know. When a person starts talking like that, they're thinking about it more than people that are younger. When you get old, you start thinking about it. Of course, we were working on the judgment seat of Christ downstairs. I appreciated y'all getting with Sister Pryor as much as you did on the songs, but I could tell you just couldn't hardly get free after just working on the judgment seat of Christ, being under in a judgment seat. It's hard to shift sometimes, I know, but I do appreciate those songs. They were lifting, and you could feel God in them. But I appreciate all of you that made it out today that are here. We've got some that couldn't be here from all the way from people that are sick. To having flats on the way to church. So, but I'm glad for all of you that made it. And I'm especially thankful to have my family here today. Cindy and Michael, but her mother, she's the elder, Sister Elder. And we've been praying for you, Sister Elder. Every time you have a problem, your daughter never lets us forget to pray for my mama, she says. And so we've had you up before prayer here lately, and every time you've had a bump with your health, well, we're aware of it. And having known you all these years, it always makes me have a feeling to pray for you. Sister Elder goes way back in the body of Christ. Her and her husband moved many years ago from Phoenix to Fort Worth and sat under Brother Don Patton. Of course, Brother Elder passed away at a young age, but Sister Elder was faithful. And raised her children up. And they all have a touch of God in their life that they've never been able to get away from. And then Michael and Cindy's children, Andrew, his wife Brittany, and then Connor. Connor, raise your hand up, Connor, so everybody knows who you are. There he is. Andrew and Brittany stayed in our home Friday night when they got in, and it fell off of me? What's the deal? Oh, no, it's on my ear. Anyway, we got up the next morning, and Connor started running around, and it didn't take me long to understand why God has young people have children. He's going to stay with Michael and Cindy for a few days, and while they're, I don't know what they're doing. I don't remember where they're going. But anyway, they're going to let him stay with them. So they let him practice on it yesterday, let him spend the night over there. Well, I said, how many days is it y'all going to let him stay with their grandparents? They said 5 days. I thought, God, I hope they make it through. My mother, she's, you know, bedfast now and couldn't be here today. She still thinks in her mind that she's supposed to come. I told her this morning, today was Sunday and dinner day. She said, it is. I said, yes. She said, we better get to getting ready then, hadn't we? I said, yeah. But anyway, she said that he's a Cracker Jack. It didn't take her long to see him running around. She knew that he was going to be a lot to handle. Anyway, he's just a normal little 2-year-old boy. But then Cindy and Andy from Louisville made it in. Rachel, I'm sorry, Rachel. I do know your name. I'm just like your grandma. I'm getting to be an elder too. And the things don't work. My brain don't work as quick and spry as it used to. But anyway, we're glad y'all are here. We really are. We appreciate having you. I don't know you, brethren, if y'all sit on the platform at home. I hadn't been to visit in a while, so. But anybody that sits on the platform at home or plays in the band, they're always welcome here to work in the same capacity. And so I want y'all to know that. I know sometimes it's fun just to sit with your family and watch it from the other perspective. And then Sister Shay's, you know, I can tell now she's determined to prove me wrong. You notice how she's been coming faithful lately? Amen. I'm glad for that. She's even asking questions in Bible study. Well, that's good. And your friend that's with you, she was here but I can't remember your name. I'm sorry.
Mary.
Evidently, whoever the ushers are thinks you're going to become a regular member because we didn't get a visitor's card on you today. So they're counting you in. All right. So we want you to be a part, too, Sister Mary. And Sister Tiffany's mother, we're sure glad to have you with us again. This is her home away from home. We're claiming you. When she's not in West Memphis, we're looking for her here. So anyway, we're glad that you're here. I've had a request for the Smith family to sing. So I couldn't tell them no. I just said, well, I'll tell them. So y'all come and sing. And I know I'm part of the Smith family, but they'll probably exempt me from this deal. Anyway, we'd like for them to, we don't get to have them very often, so we want them to work while they're here. All right, God bless you as you come and sing for us. Oh, where's Brother Joe Lacey? There, his boy, Aaron. Is it Aaron? Is that right, Brother Joe? Praise God, Aaron. Look up here at us. We're glad you're here today. Yes, amen. Glad to have him. I can if they want me to. Family deal.
Agree.
He always knows what's best for me. I can trust Jesus. I can trust Jesus. He never once has failed me by me. He is my strong tower, the strength in my weak tower. I can trust Jesus. He takes care of me. I can trust
like for at least Andrew and Rachel to testify. They're my grandchildren and they hadn't been here in a long time. And they've moved off to other assemblies. Thank God it's in the body. And I had a hard time when they left here. But I know that they have to find God's direction and His will in their lives. I still give Brother Ross a hard time for taking the only little girl I ever had. Outside of her mama, really. I've always claimed Cindy as my girl, too. Her daddy passed when he was young, and she married Michael so young. And, Sister Elder, I know how you felt now. I didn't have a daughter that left home, but Rachel, you know, she's always been right there, close. Michael and Cindy had always lived by us. And I don't know why I'm blaming all this on Brother Ross. Really, it's Andy's fault. But he's part of the family, so I'm trying to, you know, keep a good relationship with him, so I can't stay mad at him. Brother Ross, I'm not that close to him, so I'm blaming it on him. Not really. I'm just joking. But I'm telling you, it was a tough blow for me to see Rachel move. But she's doing good. At least they tell me she is. And I'm believing them, you know. Charity believeth all things, hopes all things. But really, I'm keeping up with her pretty close, and I know she's doing good. And I do appreciate her husband because he's serving God, and I know he keeps her encouraged to serve God. And they're working together on this road to salvation. And then Andrew and Brittany, they're there in the Dallas church. I have confidence in Brother Kennedy and his ministry. And I've got confidence in my grandson. I don't want to put something on him God won't put on him, but I saw a gift working in his life early, and so I know there's something working there that, you know, when God works in your life, it's different than just men working there. And if we're faithful to him and keep serving him, he'll help us to find. He'll just usher us into his will. You don't have to strive in God. If you'll just serve him and be faithful, he'll direct your steps. The Bible says that. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Sometimes I have trouble, but I do understand. But I never did go through it myself. I never did strive in God to be something. I just somehow God settled it with me in a young age that if I just serve him, if I just live for him and do all I knew to do, that the rest was up to him. And if I was called to the ministry or called to whatever God called me to do, I'd just find myself doing it because he would make it happen. That's wonderful. You need that peace and that confidence in him. Just serve him. Just be faithful. Live for him. He'll work in your life and you'll begin to accomplish the thing that God's called you to do, and you begin to develop in it. It is true that you got to put forth your efforts and you got to be diligent in your serving him, but you don't have to strive to be something that you think God wants you to be. All you've got to do is be faithful. He'll cause you to develop and cause you to be what Paul said we are, is his workmanship. We're the workmanship of God or Christ. He'll work in us what's his good pleasure. He'll develop in us what he designed for us to be. We're all members in particular, and you can't make yourself a member that you're not. You can just, if you can get settled down to just serving, be faithful to him. You don't have to make a lot of decisions if you're just faithful and serving. He'll direct your steps. He'll make a way for you where there seems to be no way. Hallelujah. Anyway, if you ushers would take them a microphone, I'm just going to trust that they'll obey me. I just want to hear from them, They've been serving God, and I'd like for them to share a little bit with us today.
I feel blessed being with you all. It's been, I guess, a year since I've visited, since I moved there. They've really took me in there, and I feel right at home. It feels like I've lived in Louisville forever, so I know I'm have a good new family there, and they... feeling the Lord there and here, and knowing that I'm with the Lord's people and having a family that'll take care of me and help me. And I'm married into a good family. His family is wonderful, and they all serve the Lord and faithful, and I'm just really thankful for that. The Lord's really, really blessed us. We got married and are able to have a house now, and we had to completely get the house, so that's been a process, but it's also been a time for us to get closer to each other and closer to the Lord, to really trust him on, you know, finances and, you know, getting things in line of responsibility that comes with everything. So it's been a really good time for me to really trust the Lord and really get close to Him, and having a wonderful husband that we can get closer to Him together and lift each other up and encourage each other and discuss Bible topics and really praise the Lord together. And that's really a blessing in my life, and having family there and friends that we're all in it together and encouraging one another. So I'm really glad to see everyone here today, some extended family and my family here and friends, and just love you all.
I guess I'm kind of used to being put on the spot in my 26 years of life now, and kind of came in handy whenever you had to give a speech at school or something, or a book report that you just kind of winged it, you know. Got kind of used to that. But I do just feel good to feel all the warm neck hugs walking in the door, and the friendly smiling faces, and I appreciate that. I really do. It's always feeling good to feel a second extension or another arm of your family, and we even do have some natural family here, the Pryors. And I just wanted to, testify a little bit since you did ask me to. You guys get to listen to my story. Me and Brittany, a couple years ago, when we did decide to move to Little Rock, it was kind of, or move from Little Rock to Dallas. There was some kind of hesitations, but I had a lesson taught in my life a long time ago that if you want to find yourself doing what you feel is where you need to be, then you start off doing something for somebody else. And for me, that started off with my family, Connor and Brittany. And I felt, you sometimes in your life, as you're a younger person, you feel you're not quite fulfilling where you're needing to be or what's going on in you that you know that you're capable of. And I found myself selling our house here within 2 days. Brittany found a voicemail on her phone and called it. It was from like a month. Was it 2 months? We had a previous offer on our house, and we had turned that down for somebody else, and they fell through. And we had already, you know, started this big process of moving. And so Brittany went in. It's like, who are we going to sell our house to? So we called these people, and her husband came that night, looked around the house, and said, "Okay, well, I want to bring my wife in here." And the next morning, they looked the house over. They said, "Okay, let's go to the bank, and we'll pay cash for your house." And we were moving the next day. We had already put out the rental truck and everything. And I had a little job lined up. And so on just a string thread, our house was sold, and we had packed up and moved to Dallas. And the little job that I had taken was more of a seasonal type work, and the season was winding down, and I started feeling the pressures and the desperation, and you start seeing that those numbers go down, you know, you start swiping that card, and you're looking at those numbers go down and down. And I told a buddy of mine, I found this, you know, this job opportunity. I always wanted to be in sales and talk to people, and so I said, all right, I'm going to work at this dealership. I talked to Chad Neptune there in our church, and he said, "No, you don't need to go sell cars." He goes, "No, you need to talk to my cousin. That is where you're going to find a good steady pay, and you're going to find good consistency and good hours so you can be home with your family on the weekends." He said, "You need to go talk to them." So I gave him a call that afternoon, and I sent him my contact information. He said, "Human Resource wants you to submit a resume this evening, and then they'll get back to you pretty quick. I'm actually really good friends, and I work out with the Vice President of Human Resources. So I may be able to help you here." And I said, "Okay." And I had met this gentleman just briefly before, because I had looked at his roof, and I was doing roofing sales. And I submitted my resume, and within an hour after I had sent my resume, I got a phone call from him, and he said, "When can you come in for an interview?" I said, "Tomorrow at 8 o'clock. He goes, "Okay, be here 8 o'clock tomorrow morning." So I drove up there, and I met with the vice president of marketing, and for the area that I'd be working in. And we sat down and he talked and he said, how much money, they get down to the questions and they said, how much money do you want to make? So I just threw this astronomical number out there. I just said, I want to make this. And he said, well, you won't make that, but you'll make, you know, X amount of dollars. And it was about four times as much as I ever think I would ever think that they would tell me. I said, well, I guess that'll work. You know, I guess that'll have to do. And so they kind of gave me a nickname, you know, just goofing around. And they said, okay, we just want you to need you to go fill out this background test, and you start next month. And I just kind of sat there like, wow, is this how it works? You know? So I got in there, and I just got really just some things filling in my lap. I was working there, and I was able to grow. I now have one of the largest businesses that I work with in the company. So I've had great success there, and then I've had during this whole process, some really close friends really kind of grab onto us there in Dallas, and really kind of mingle us into their own family. Even sometimes when they would just go out to dinner with just their family, somehow we always found ourselves, you know, a part of it. And I guess that's really how it works. When you come and visit and often enough and make yourself a part of someone's life, I guess they kind of have to take you in their wings sometimes, which is okay. I appreciate it. And I saw that from my grandpa several times throughout the years, taking people in his home, even just recently. And y'all got to see and experience some of those things, and some of y'all have personally, which that's how I feel more connected to a lot of people here. And I guess really the thing that the little things that you experience along the way is really what defines you as an older person. And I look forward to being able to look back and say that y'all were helping us build a foundation in our marriage, because I look back and see that there was a lot of things that if I would have tried to get married, if me and Brittany, we've talked several times, if, you know, with different things that we had going on in our own personal life, whether it be in Texas or in Missouri, I don't really think that our marriage would have lasted very well or gone as smoothly or be in the place that it is now, which is far better than I could have ever imagined life being. And I just want to get up and thank y'all for helping us build a great foundation for our marriage here in Little Rock, and reaching different plateaus and peaks in our lives because of the foundation that we built here. So I just want to get up and let y'all know how much I love you guys and appreciate y'all.
Well, I'm thankful to be here again, and I just wanted to start out with apologizing for stealing Rachel from you all. I don't really mean it, but I am glad to be here again. And coming back here reminded me of first time I remember when I was riding with Brother Mike Smith. I can't remember where we were going, and he asked me, he said, so God must be talking to you for you to come all the way here to Little Rock to see my daughter. And I was like, apparently, because it's out of the norm for me. But that's kind of how Andrew was saying. That's, you know, when you're following that nudge from the Lord, things kind of, when you let it go out of your hands and just kind of let things fall, it becomes a lot easier. Doesn't mean that the struggles and the bumps in the road aren't going to be there, but it's a lot easier when you're not alone, you know, going through those. Me and Rachel, we had our bumps. But I the whole time I knew it was the Lord, you know, kind of allowing things to happen, kind of testing, you know, testing my faith in his will in my life. And, you know, sometimes with me, I can, when I question, when I hit a rocky patch of something, I start questioning, is this God's will for my life, or am I out of his will? And sometimes you are out of his will, but sometimes it's just God seeing how true you are to stay in his will. And in the that's a hard thing to decipher sometimes, but that's where prayer and, you know, a good church and a good pastor, you know, comes in into role there. They can give you that guidance and that leadership that you need. And one of the things, I won't go in really deep into my testimony, but I was born and raised, a lot of you don't know much or anything about me, but I was born and raised in our churches up in Oswego. And in about 95, 96, my family moved to Louisville. And that was, it's a kind of an example for my family to follow the Lord, is my dad was about to get a promotion to a job. He could have retired when he was 50. He could have, we'd have been sitting good right now. But there was things going on in our local area, in our local church, that he knew that it would have presented a struggle for his family to kind of stay above water. And he turned that job down and then moved to Louisville. And by doing that, they struggled. They had to live with my grandparents for about 6 months. He had to take a minimum wage job just to stay afloat. But the whole time, he knew that was God's will for his life and his family. And his family was his priority as opposed to financial stability. And I appreciated that. And that's kind of something that I've carried over. And, you know, when I moved to Louisville, I resented my parents. I all but told them I hated them. You know, I was in 7th grade, going into 8th grade. And that's a tough age. You've already kind of established some friends. You're about to go into high school. And I really didn't like them. And I hated church. I sat in the back row and I slept. I wanted nothing to do with it. And I let everybody know. And I regret that now. But if that same scenario had happened up where we had lived, I wouldn't have had that church to come back to. I wouldn't have had certain things, you know, my family probably wouldn't have been in church anymore. And I really appreciate the heritage and the families that are in our group of churches. But going back to a little bit of my testimony is, I left church when I was 18. I told them, you know, see you later, I'm old enough to do what I want, and you can't tell me otherwise. And, you know, that first year, I was living the high life, you know, no rules. No regulations, I could do what I wanted, and things were good, you know, I thought. And then slowly but surely, things started creeping in my life, slowly but surely, started going farther away, and before I knew it, I had no desire to speak to God, had no desire to have anything to do with church, and that breaks my heart now, to think of that, to think of what I was throwing away. You know, every church has its ups, its downs, its lows, its highs, but it's, I'd rather it be stable in the sense that there's always something to go back to. You know, that we sing that song, For Jesus is the Lighthouse. And it's, you know, I come from a small church originally, and it was a small congregation. But it still took those, like you were saying, the elders of the church. It takes them to constantly maintain this lighthouse so that when idiots like me leave the church, you know, we have something to look to. If the lighthouse wasn't maintained, there wasn't no light, we'd be lost at sea with nowhere to go, nowhere to look back to. And I thank God for the elders of the church, whether it's a small congregation or not. God will keep the doors open, no matter the congregation size, because he has a lot of lost souls out there, like I was, that are going to, they may not be looking now, but there will come a time, if that seed's planted deep enough, that they will look back. And they will start searching again, because 10 years I was out of church, and 9 of those years I was miserable. And I convinced myself for the 9 of those years that I wasn't miserable. But it took me hitting a very, very low place to realize how miserable I was. And then finally, I started stepping back into the church. And, you know, I came back to the church, and I was getting older, and I was wanting to settle down with someone. And I didn't see anybody. I didn't want to force something. I didn't want to just settle. And then I kind of got to the point, and I was like, Lord, you know, I've messed up. I've picked a lot of, you know, I've made a lot of the decisions that have led me to this point in my life. And if you don't want me to be with anyone, if you want me to live the rest of my life single, because of the choices I've made, if I've missed an opportunity with someone when I left church, I said, so be it. I got to the point where I didn't care. I was staying in the church regardless of my finances, regardless of my marital status, regardless of anything. And it was at that point that I randomly had the chance to go to Houston, Texas, where I really got to meet Rachel. And we, you know, kind of talked off and on. And just through that whole time, there was things that, you know, could have derailed me. But the whole time, I just felt God saying, I don't care what happens. This is the route I want you on. And I couldn't, as much as I, in a lot of cases, should have let things bother me, I didn't. Because it was God's will. I didn't care what kind of problems it could have caused me, but I knew it was God's will. And there was little things that I would keep praying about. And I said, Lord, if this is meant to be, let her say this. And within weeks' time, every time, she would initiate a conversation that would, and that's how I knew God was in this. And I apologize again for taking her. I really do. But it's like the song says, sometimes God's will and our will disagree. This was one of those scenarios. For your will was for her to be here. But just know that I will bring her back as often as I'm able to, as often as she can get off work. I praise God for all that he's put me through because it has made me what I am. And I thank God for what he's going to continue to do. I thank God for the heritage in our churches. And I was just real quick, something I was reading on, and it kind of fits with the heritage this week is I kind of scratched the surface on the Levites and how their responsibility maintained, you know, they had a role they were set aside from Israel. And I was kind of reading, he said, in generations that were born into that tribe, they had to give up some of the other things that everyone else could do. They were in a different category as designed by God. And that's kind of how I feel all of our churches are. There's some things that, you know, I may not totally see a problem with, but we're in a different category. And I'm not saying that in an exalting way, but they were there to maintain the tabernacle. And I feel we talk about restoring a church, and I feel like that's kind of our role and our heritage. And, you know, I was born into this, and I could have ran away, but it was my job to stay here and stay on the job and carry on what my family has laid out before me. God won't let this go to waste, so I want it to move on because of me and not in spite of me. And I want to thank you all. I hope I didn't talk too long. I really didn't know what I was going to say when I got up, and then just things started pouring out. But I appreciate you all letting me sing, you know, with your family. I don't consider myself a singer. That's why I told her when she handed me the microphone, I said, just unplug it real quick. But I really appreciated it, and I really appreciated that song we sang for Sister Elsie last night, and that did my heart really well, and you could see how that affected her. And that just shows that there's good people, you know, in all of our churches all over the United States and the world, for that matter. And I thank you all, and I don't feel like there's as much animosity towards me anymore for stealing your precious Rachel. But just know I'm doing my best to take care of her, and we're doing our best to stay in God's will. And bless you all.
Sister Elder, did you want to say something? Take her that microphone. She's the elder of the elders.
Yeah, I'm just so thankful to be here, and I want to thank everyone for praying for me. I feel so much better now. And they were talking about heart surgery, and I say, well, as long as you're doing this well, we'll wait till March and check you over then. So I'm just thankful for all your prayers. I'm sure you got a touch from the Lord. And just so good to be here, and I'm just so proud to be able to be a part of all these people's lives, be connected to them. And it's just such a blessing. All their lives are just a blessing to me. And all my children, their spouses, it's just a blessing to be here. And I hear the good things about Sister Elsie and Brother Durham, how the Lord has been with them in their trials. And Thankful for the Lord helping me in my life and changing my heart, like he mentioned in the Bible study, that this, what we inherited from Adam, we don't have to keep that in our lives, but the Lord is helping us to change and grow in our new life. And I just appreciate you all here. It's so good to see you all again, and so thankful to be here. God bless you all. Thank you.
I want to say, too, how much I appreciate the Lord and for what he's done. And I just thought words really can't express. If you're a mom, you know what I'm feeling today, and a grandma. But I just everything I have, I owe to the Lord. And I'm just so thankful for his mercy. I mean, every one of us sitting here, it's just because of God's mercy and his love. And like Brother Andy said, those decisions that we made, and, you know, can lead us, you know, which path is it going to lead us down? And I think it just even goes back to my mom of the path that she chose, you know, and even the path her mother chose to come to the United States from Germany. And, you know, just we don't realize how far, how many generations things we choose, you know, who that's going to affect way down the, you know, in years to come. And I just want to continue to search for the Lord's will and walk in his way. And I don't want to be one of those that aren't, you know, shaken away from the Lord. And I just, you know, just sitting, you know, thinking, what in the world can I say? But just thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blessings. And he's so faithful, and I want to be as equally faithful and, you know, as much as possible to him and give him the praise that he's worthy of. And you know, I was thinking with the new year, you know, you always think, okay, well, you know, the things the Lord did for you that year. And I just appreciate it. I was thinking, you know, Nathan was in a bad car wreck and totaled his car. He could have flipped and something, you know, he just walked away from that. And I've never, you know, I never got up and said how much I was thankful that, I mean, you know, just... It's a rainy day, and just did a complete circle in the road and crashed into a telephone pole, and he walked away from that, and I'm just so thankful for that. And one day Michael came home early from work and in the morning and was going to cook breakfast and saw something else to eat and did not realize he left the stove on with the iron skillet on there all day long, and it could have caught the house on fire had it probably been any other kind of skillet. And I'm thankful. I know the Lord was in that. You know, could have, all our dogs are in the house, you know, when we leave and everything. And it, just so many in little things just all year long. I just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for always being there and the things even unseen. And I just appreciate everybody here and all your prayers, our church family and our natural family. I love you all.
Good it is to see everybody back there. You're all special to me anyway. Appreciate seeing you again. And I appreciated your testimony, Brother Andy. I think it's the first time I've ever heard you speak. I enjoyed it. I felt your heart. And I just want to say this time last year, or close somewhere right around here, I was in DuQuoin being introduced to people as Rachel's mom. And I don't know how many times I repeated, not that Rachel. Does everybody go, oh, you mean that? No, not that Rachel. So it was kind of fun. But anyway, enjoyed meeting those people and enjoyed meeting your family last year a couple of times, getting to work with them in Louisville, the youth meeting and everything. So it's just good to see all of you guys again. And you mentioned the song, The Lighthouse. And that just struck a chord with me, and I'm going to give it a try. It's been a long time since I've sung it, but I appreciate that. I don't have the kind of testimony that you have. Not to say that I'm special, because I certainly have had plenty of issues right here, but I watched my brother go through a similar time in his life. I've watched my son recently and other different people that I've loved and friends and so forth, And I'm thankful, you know, and even times, I was just telling somebody this morning, it feels like ages since I've been here. I was gone to Mount Carmel, then we've been out for weather and whatnot, and it seems like I hadn't really just, you know, been here. And I'm thankful that
there's a place, there is a light shining for whatever reason, whether you're gone for years, whether you're gone for a few days, whether you're gone, sometimes days can feel like years, you know, depending on what you're going through and what experiences life's bringing you. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for this lighthouse. I'm thankful for people who are keeping that light burning, keeping it fueled, keeping the fires going, so to speak. And just appreciative today. There's a lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light that I might see, and the light that shines in darkness now will safely be beyond. If it was the light. the big ships, they don't sail this way anymore. There's no use in it standing round. But then my mind goes back to a stormy night when just in time, oh, I saw the light, yes, the light from that old lighthouse that still stands up there on the hill. The
Yes, praise God. Thank God for the lighthouse. A little bit of history on that song. It was written by Ronnie Henson. Imagine you've heard of the Hensons. If you haven't, well, they've... the Henson family, they were... had a gospel quartet that were very, very popular for many, many years. And Ronnie Henson wrote several songs. So did Kenny Henson. But Ronnie, when he wrote that song, his testimony of how he wrote it was that he saw that he grew up in Pentecostal churches. And he saw that that the world was coming into the church. And that, you know, he saw that the things that had been preached, that men of God were making compromises, and that more of the world came into the church. And that inspired him, that the lighthouse, or those that had shined the light and led the way to righteousness, was faltering, and it grieved him, and God gave him that song on the lighthouse. I think it gives that song a lot more meaning when you understand what inspired him to write it. Then God blessed it. That's the way God does. He gives something by inspiration, and then the Spirit of God touches it and blesses it. That's what made it so popular. It touched a lot of lives. And, of course, Jesus, he said to his disciples, he said, "You are the light of the world." And he meant, you're the hope. You're the hope of the world. If the hope of that God had in Christ when Christ left this life was placed in 12 men's lives. Thank God they took the charge. And the work that Jesus performed and that God worked in through Christ in their lives took a hold. And that light began to shine in the end of that Jewish world, and it touched life after life. Thank God for those that have responded. That's one thing about God. He doesn't force it on you. He doesn't make you respond. He gave you a free will. He gives you the freedom to choose. The psalmist prophesied about Jesus before he ever came here. He said, God has anointed him, Jesus, with the oil of gladness above his fellows, because he loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Every one of us ought to say, God, make me that much like Jesus. Give me a love for righteousness, right doing, right living, the right example, the right principles in my life that would cause me to be one, a light for others. I felt that while Sister Lynette was singing that song today. There was a thought in my mind that you're here and you know who you are. And you may be struggling. You may be going through some things. Not you personally, but those around you. Sometimes that happens to parents with their children. Sometimes it happens to spouses with their spouse. That we go through things and it causes us to shake. It causes a shaking. And I just felt like saying to you, hold on. Hold on. Don't give in to the temptation of compromise or giving up. But hold on to the principles, to the light that has shone in your life, for your life, and be a light. Sometimes we have to be a light when those we love are going through things. When Sister Cindy married my son, I saw something in her life before they got married. I saw a touch of God in their life that made me glad they was getting married, because I knew there was something in her life that had held him when he went through rough times. I knew he had something in his life that had held her too, but I was glad he was getting a helpmate on God's side. We need that. Every one of us need that. We need someone to look to, someone to lean on, someone to guide us, someone to be the example. And I'm thankful for that in my life. Different times, different ways. I was thinking while my grandkids, both natural and by marriage, I was glad to hear their testimonies, but I was thinking while they were talking, I thought, they're working out their salvation. They're following God the best way they know how, just like I did and just like you did. And we don't know. We don't know what God has in store for us out here in the future. All we can do is live for Him today. All we can do is serve Him today. And trust Him that He will direct us. He'll help us. He'll guide our lives. He'll protect us. What more can we do if we're doing all we know to do? Then the rest of it's left up to Him. And even if you make mistakes, even in the direction in life, if you make mistakes, that's the thing that's so good about God. Is, which I'm not saying, I hope y'all don't take that I'm saying they made mistakes. Andy called it, my will wasn't God's will. Of course, I was looking at it like his will wasn't God's will. Mine was. See, that's how we all are trying to hold on to what we have faith in God, and then God has to adjust that. God will take us through things that will help us if we'll be faithful, if we'll stay flexible. That's one of the, how did Brother Leninger say that? Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not get bent out of shape. He said that's in the book of Leninger, chapter 1, verse 1. Well, it may not be in the Bible exactly like that, but it is true. You have to stay flexible in here. You've got to let God work in your life, and you can't be right about everything. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to reveal anything to you fully today, but I will tell you that I think God's talking to my heart. I may be going to make some adjustments in the future of things, positions that I've taken that God's talking to my heart about. I'm trying to get God's mind on it. I don't want to be fast about just changing for the sake of change, but if God will help me, which I believe He is helping me. You know, it's hard. Leadership is something hard. Although all of you are called to be leaders, and you're all leading somebody, whether you know it or not. If you're the wrong example, you're the wrong example to somebody. Somebody is being influenced by your life. And if you're a good example, you're a good example to someone. But everyone in here, probably, unless you're just a little bitty baby. But even the little ones are influencing other ones. So we have to learn that. We've got to learn that somebody's watching me. And we all have to develop leadership in our lives, and sometimes it's brother, it's sometimes it's not easy. I was gonna say Brother Goodman gave a message the last day or the last night, I think it was, the open service in Brownsville on points for being a good leader. And I thought he did a good job. One of the things he said was is that you have to be positive and you have to show faith even when you're having trouble. You know, he said you got to get up and talk positive about the things of God, even if when you go home you got to sit down and say, "Dear God, you know, I don't know if I, you know, you're struggling yourself, but you still got to put forth a positive conversation about the Lord." That's just good leadership. That's not letting your feelings take over. But anyway, Jesus said that this light was not made to put a cover over it. How did he say that? Don't hide it under a bushel. That's what he said. We're to let it shine. Let light shine forth in our lives. And sometimes when we see others that we care about and love, or that we're influencing, or that we have responsibility to, we see them shaking and trembling. We've got to stand steady. Hold on. Hold on to God. Let our light shine. Be the example. Every one of us have to do that. There's not anybody exempt from going through trials and struggles. And aren't you glad for those around us that holds the position of faithfulness and honoring God? And because, like that song said, everybody that lives around us, that's the way Ronnie Fenton must have felt. Say, why don't you tear that old lighthouse down? The big ships don't sail by this way anymore. Well, I can tell you there's a straight and narrow way that still needs to be preached. You know, you can let the world, you can compromise and let the world in the church so much that you can drive the Spirit of God right out of the church. Before long, you won't feel God. You won't know God. And a lot of times there's pressure from people. We all sometimes come under it. There's adjustments, I think, that has to be made in society. But I don't think we have to compromise righteousness. I think we have to hold on to principles that uphold righteousness and uprightness and things that, if we can see that we're letting things in our life that'll tear down the righteousness or our faith or upholding, you know, sometimes it's not necessarily what you're doing. It may not hurt you, but it may hurt somebody else. Sometimes you got to realize my position or my example, the example I'm being. See, Paul, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, all things are lawful. But he said they're not all expedient. It's not always, I shouldn't always, you know, in other words, he knew he could eat things offered to an idol. It wouldn't bother him because he knew idols were nothing. But he knew if a weaker person saw him eating something offered to an idol, it could destroy them. And for their sake, he held a position in his life. That's how you and I have to be. There's things that we might do that'll hurt others. We've got to consider others. I have to consider other churches in the body that don't maybe believe like we do or do like we do. There's maybe certain things that they hold to that we don't hold to. But I still feel like we ought to be careful for their sakes. In fact, they might be right and we might be wrong. I've always got to keep that in consideration. But I also feel like the example that we're to be shouldn't be offensive to the young ones in those churches that are being taught something different or having an example. We've got to learn that there's a middle of the road. We don't want to be extremists on the extreme one side or extreme on the other side, but that we are to hold a position of being an example. One of the things Paul said concerning a bishop, that he was to be without blame before them that's without. In other words, nobody ought to be able to point their finger at you and find any fault, you know, any real thing wrong with your life. That's living up above even what you might even feel necessary, isn't it? That you're living a life for others. You're being an example for other people. You're not taking too liberal of a stand or too strict of a stand. But you found a middle road to be an example in that it's hard for anybody to find very much fault with. I think we ought to all consider that. I think we ought to all ask God, let me be a brighter light. You think there's room in your life to be a brighter light? You think somebody could use something in your life to be an excuse not to do any better than they're doing? I'd like for people I'd like for my life to be a light that people could look at and say, it's hard to find anything wrong with the guy. That's what I'm striving for. I'd like for my life to be an example to others, and I think you all have that mindset. I'm just stirring up your pure mind here today, asking you to consider. And I'm asking you to hold steady. If you're not going through something, but somebody around you is going through some things, I'm telling you it's imperative that you hold steady. Hold steady. Hold the position. Be a light for them. Don't give in. Don't waver. Sometimes, you know, that's worked in me and Sister Smith's life. And of course, I think it works in all of us that way. There's been times when I was down, and she would help me. She'd give me words. Sometimes she knew I can't talk to him. He's in no condition to talk to. She'd just live it before me. She just let me know the way she acted that I'm not going where you're at. I'm not giving in to what you're doing. She didn't tell me that because she knew that wouldn't fly with me. I'm too mean. You know. I'd get on her. I'm the boss, see? At least on my day of the week. No, I pretty well think I do have a position of authority over her in our home, but she has a place that I'm afraid of. She's got a place with God that scares me. When I know I'm wrong and she's holding the right, that works on me. I may not admit it right away. Sometimes I don't even tell her, you pulled me through. But she's pulled me through many more times than what I've told her. I thank God for that. God's used her to be my helpmate. And then I hope I've pulled her through a few times. I know I have a few. But she don't always tell me either. It's not that we're trying to hold it from one another. I think we just realize it's God really that pulled me through. He just used her. He just used her as my helpmate. And I'm thankful to God for that today. If it wasn't for you, like somebody said here today, if it wasn't for that lighthouse, if it wasn't for somebody that was holding up, Brother Andy mentioned it, wasn't for the faithful, wasn't for the elders, those that stayed on the job. And look, every one of us has needed that at some time in our life. You can't tell me you ain't never had any troubles or bumps. You can't tell me that you had needed somebody that held the fort down. Well, you know, so everybody in here, somebody's depended on you. Hopefully you've been on the faithful side and held things intact. And if you hadn't, then how about helping out? How about get in here and help us? we may need you in a little while. I may need you. You may need to help me through something. Praise God. What a God we're serving. It's really in Him, in us, the hope of glory. This is working in every one of our hearts. And so, see, I don't know about Angie and Rachel. I don't know if they're supposed to stay in Louisville. I've still got that, you know, something inside of me that says they may live in Little Rock someday. But I'll tell you this, if they don't ever come back, it's all right with me as long as God's will is working. And that's really what I want. And if His will's not anywhere close to Little Rock, then I want them to do His will. I wouldn't want them to come back here for anything if it wasn't God's will. So I think they're in God's, the best will that He has for them right now. He's got more in His will for them. They just don't know what it is yet. And I don't know what mine is yet either. See, I don't know. I don't know where I'm fitting in God's will. But I'm just wanting to be in it. I feel like I'm in it right now, but I'm willing for it to change. I'm willing for God's will. But since I don't know what that is, I'm just going to serve Him right now today where I'm at. Serve Him right here where He's got me. That's what you have to do. You're right where God has you yet today. Serve Him in that place. Trust Him. Believe that He'll help you. He'll direct your steps. He'll work His will in your life. You'll become exactly what He's called you to be. What a hope. What a hope, saints of God, that God could make you a member in particular in the body of Christ, and that member that He called you to be. You're a new creation. You're a new creature in God if you've been born again, and He will make you what He wants you to be if you'll be flexible enough and yield yourself to Him enough to let Him do it. Hallelujah. All right, well, before we go downstairs, they've got dinner ready. I probably could get around to preaching here today if I just work on it a little bit, but dinner's ready. But before we go to dinner, let's take up the prayer request and pray for those that need our prayers. And then if the ushers would come, we'll give you the opportunity to give your tithes and offerings to the Lord today. I know that Sister Painter mentioned to me a young 16-year-old boy by the name of Jordan James, I believe, in their homeschool group that's in the hospital today. He's bleeding on the brain, and he's got this bug that's going around, I guess, the flu. And he's got meningitis, too. And he needs our prayers. So let's remember Jordan James. And Brother Mark Boyd, he texted me. He said, I took a flu shot a week and a half before I got all this that I've been going through the last month. And he said, I think I've got every flu that I got a shot for. He said, I don't know, really. But he said, I need prayer. I'm sick. He's been running fever up into 103 and 4. And so let's pray for Brother Boyd. He's really been sick. Brother Oates has been sick. How's he doing, Sister Oates? He's here. He's on usher duty. I can't see him. Oh, there he is back there. Are you out of the woods yet? All right. Well, we've been praying for you. Pray for Brother Dave's. He really needs our prayer. Sister Fisher? All right. Sister Chelsea, he's got the flu in Dallas. Luke, Brother Bryant. Sister who? Oh, Dolores. All right, pray for her. And Sister McGowan? All right, Sister Irma used to be Foster, Brother Foster's daughter. Remember her with cancer. What else? Sister Abraham. All right. And then let's remember Sister Elsie. Let's keep remembering her. She's been in the hospital this week. They say that, you know, she's getting down in the last stages of cancer, that they may have to call hospice in. So she's really not doing good. All we can do is keep believing God and keep praying. Pray God's will in her situation right now. Brother Dodson. All right, Brother Keith, he's homesick. Remember him. Sister Donna. All right, yeah, Brother Dylan's going into the Army. Let's keep him in our prayers. Sister Lisa. I'm sorry, what was it? Passed away Thursday. All right. Brother Weiniger was telling us Brother Henry and Brother Wallace both need our prayers. They're sick today. Keep praying for Brother Ron Johnson's wife, Beth. Just keep praying. She's having a bout with cancer. Sister Crow, remember Brother and Sister Crow. Praise God. All right, if the ushers will come and if you'll all stand, let's take these needs. Did I miss anybody up here? Remember these needs. Oh, God, precious Savior, meet these needs today, God, our petitions. Touch your people, Lord, these that are sick today, those that are urgently sick in their bodies. This Jordan James, God, touch that young man. Sister Elsie, Jesus, we know without your help she's not going to make it, but we know that you're able. You're the great physician. You're able to lift her up, give her more days. Oh, God, we pray. Precious Lord, touch Brother Boyd today. Each one, Lord, that are sick in their bodies that was mentioned here, God, help them. Brother Wallace and Brother Henry. Oh, Lamb of God, touch Brother and Sister Crow, Lord. Hallelujah. Brother Keith, different ones, Lord, that were mentioned here. Oh, Lamb of God, Lamb of God. Touch Sister Dolores, Lord. Meet her need. Touch her body, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Touch Brother Dave's today. Touch his body and help him, oh God. Spare his life, oh God, and help him, Lord, to live more days. Oh God, go with your people today. Protect those that are traveling. And each one, Lord, direct your will, God, in our lives. Amen, amen. All right. God bless you today as you give to the Lord. Y'all keep praying, too, for Brother Randy Ayers. He got a job back up in Missouri, so he moved back to Springfield for right now. But keep him in your prayers. He's gone through quite a bit here lately, and he needs God to help him, direct him. He needs your prayers. God, if you would stand with me, let's pray for the food. This is dinner day. I wasn't sure of that till I asked somebody earlier. But so on dinner day, we don't have a 5 o'clock service. We all, those of us that can, stay and help clean the church. Give it a deep cleaning once a month. So we do that the second Sunday of every month. So if you can, or if you can't, stay and help us clean, except for those that really can't. Help us after dinner. Let's ask God to bless our dinner and our fellowship. Oh, God, thank you, Lord, for your goodness.